So I do want to just share with you guys a quick testimony, because not only is it just an awesome testimony, but it also kind of sets the stage for where I want to go today. For over 10 years, I have been leading ministry teams to Michigan International Speedway for the NASCAR races. And our teams, we go and we have teams that are doing ministry in every one of the campgrounds. And I lead the team that's right in the center of the track, right in the middle of the track. Thousands of campsites. And we go there and we do street evangelism. We do the church service on Sunday morning. And we're just always looking for opportunities to bless and pray with people. So if you go back about 2-3 months, I start this conversation with Pastor Jamie about coming to preach here at Restoration Church. And one of the things that he said was, "Hey, brother," he's like, "in 2 years, I haven't let anybody on that stage yet." He's like, this is my baby, man. You know, so this is a big deal for me to make this ask of you. So really pray about it and see if this is what God is calling you to do. So I was in the process of praying on whether or not I was supposed to come here and share this morning. And so I go to Michigan Speedway, and I've got my team with me, and we're waiting for this concert, this Friday night concert, to end, because we typically engage with a lot of people and pray with them afterwards. And I see these two gentlemen, they're probably about in their 60s or so, and they're walking away. One of them is in a wheelchair, and the other guy is pushing him, and they were struggling a little bit because the road's a little rocky. And so I went over there, and I was just, "Hey, can I help you guys at all?" And they're like, no, we're good. But I had do you guys know what a Jesus shirt is? Like, I own a lot of Jesus shirts. They're shirts that are like, that I wear that I know people are going to respond to, right? Like, "Do you need prayer?" or "Jesus loves you," or "Jesus is king," right? Well, this particular shirt said, "Yay, God," on it, right? And the one guy was like, "Hey, I really like your shirt." And I said, "We're actually here doing ministry. Can I pray for you guys? Is there anything I can pray for?" And the one guy was like, yeah, you can pray for me. And so we sat and we prayed for a little bit. And then after we were done praying, said amen. And he said, "You know what? Can you pray for one more thing?" I said, "Sure, anything." He said, "My son has been about 1.5 years sober. And he has been," absolutely. He said, "My son has been about 1.5 years sober, and he's been working through this program at this church and working with this pastor, and I just want to pray that he continues down this path. So can we pray for him?" So we grabbed hands, and we sat there, and we prayed for his son. And when we were done, I just said, "Hey, where are you guys from?" He said, there you go. He says, we're from a little town called, like, Three Rivers, a little south of there. And I was like, "No way." I said, a friend of mine just planted a church there. And, you know, it's the church is really growing. It's real powerful. And he says, "What's the name of the church?" I said, "It's Restoration Church." His face just went like this. And he says, "Who's your friend?" And I said, "Jamie Smith." And he just went, "That's the guy that's working with my son." Right? So it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I took a picture with this guy, and I sent it to Pastor Jamie, and then I thought, oh, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. But Pastor Jamie was totally good with that. But I tell that story because not only was it confirmation for me that that God is doing amazing things through this church, through Pastor Jamie, but I was like, yes, I feel like I'm supposed to be there. I felt like God brought that full circle right there in that moment. And so anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. You want another quick NASCAR testimony? Yeah. I'm an evangelist. I love testimonies. All right? I love testimonies. So a couple years ago, they used to have two races. They had a July race and an August race. And I went to the July race, and again, with my team. And you ever feel that unction that you're just supposed to go pray for somebody or talk to somebody? Well, I felt this strong unction from the Holy Spirit that I was supposed to go and speak with this particular guy. And we were handing out these bracelets that had it said stand strong, and then it had the Bible verse for Ephesians 6:10 through 20, the armor of the Lord, right? And so we're handing out these bracelets, and I go up to this guy, and I was like, hey, I said, I just really felt like I was supposed to come and ask you if you needed prayer, encouragement, anything like that. And this dude got angry with me. Right? You ever feel like you just missed it? Right? And I was like, oh, man, I don't think this was the guy. And not only did he get angry with me and tell me no, he didn't want anything to do with my prayers, he, in a very, we'll say, animated way, told me where I could go with my Jesus, right? And he didn't want anything to do with my Jesus. And he told me that for about 5 minutes as I was walking down the road trying to get away from him. In my ear, Jesus doesn't love me, this, that, you know, just all that stuff. And as much as I would come back and be like, hey, man, Jesus does love you, and trying to reason with him, he didn't want anything to hear about it. But he did want that bracelet. He wanted that bracelet, and it said stand strong on it. He's like, I kind of like that stand strong. I'll take the bracelet, though. I was like, okay, have the bracelet. So that was in July. I got cussed out in front of my team, who I'm trying to say, hey, I'm going to teach you guys how to do evangelism. Right? And I was like, well, that would be an example of, like, it didn't go so well, right? And we go back in August. And I'm over in the area where we do a lot of ministry. And this guy comes up out of nowhere. And I don't recognize him at all because he's smiling. And this guy comes up out of nowhere, and he says, I thought I'd find you here. And I was like, okay, what's up? And he's like, you don't remember me? And I was like, no, I don't, I'm sorry, I meet a lot of people, I don't remember you. He says, in July, in turn 3, dude, I cussed at you, I called you every name in the book, I just ripped you up one side and down the other. And I'm like, oh. Now I remember you. I said, but I don't think that we got along so well. And he's like, let me tell you the rest of the story. He said, when I came to the racetrack that weekend, I had already made a decision in my mind that I was going to go party it up for the weekend. I was done with this life. And on Monday morning when I got home, I was going to wake up and I was going to end it all. He's like, I had everything planned. I had everything planned. And then he said, and then you came up to me and started telling me that Jesus loved me, that he saw me, that he cared about me. He said, you came up and you started telling me all this stuff. And he says, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it because I had already resolved that it wasn't true. And he said, when I woke up on that Monday morning, he said, I looked at that dumb bracelet you gave me. And he says, I wonder what that Bible verse is. So he says, I looked up the Bible verse. And he says, I read it through. I thought it was pretty interesting. But he's like, I really didn't understand it. So he said, I called the pastor that I used to go to church with. And he said, come on in. Let's talk about it. He said, he led me back to the Lord that afternoon. Yeah. Right? I think we got, do we have a picture of that guy real quick? I think we got a picture of that guy. There he is right there. There he is right there. Gave his life back to the Lord. I thought, and here's the reason I wanted to share that with you guys this morning. Because Jesus is in the process of redeeming and restoring lives, bringing people back to himself, leaving the 99 to go find the one, right? And when I think about, are we in end times? Are we not in end times? Where are we at scripturally? I'm like, I don't know where we're at scripturally, but I do know that we are about the business of my Father. And being about the business of my Father means that we are going out and we are finding those ones. And we are prepared, we are ready with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I'm just going to tell you guys, I've been all around the world. We have the answer for this world, for this broken world. We have the answer, right? So how do we live in a world where we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy against us? Turn with me to Ephesians 6:10, since that's the scripture that I shared with this guy. This is one of my favorite places to go scripturally, right? It's the armor of the Lord. But I think that this section of scripture does a really good job of kind of framing the battle that we're in, and then also telling us how to be equipped to stand in and be victorious within it. So Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, not if, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt buckled around your waist." The belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, that words may be given to me, and I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." A few things that I want to pull out of that. Okay? First thing that I want to point out in the first paragraph is that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against each other. We are in a spiritual battle. And I just want to say that in this time that we are in, this dark, dark time, when politics are just driving this nation, and it's causing division, and it's causing argument, and it's causing hatred and bitterness and all this stuff. And believe me, I get pretty wrapped up in the politics of things, but I have to remind me, my battle is not against these people. My battle is not against these people. And I can assure you that no matter what happens in November, that God is not up there biting his nails. Right? God is not up there biting his nails. He's never been surprised by anything.
That's right.
So our mission does not change. Our mission to spread the gospel and to speak the truth in love does not change. That is our mission. Okay? And that is will always be our mission, regardless of what happens politically, regardless of what happens in this world. I'm telling you, with church planting and all that kind of stuff, sometimes you feel like you're battling some other churches and some other people and some. I mean, you just feel like you're battling on all sides. But our battle is not against flesh and blood; it's against the rulers, against the principalities, against the spiritual forces of darkness in this world. There is a spiritual battle that's going on. Amen. And that is where we need to be equipped. And what I love about the armor of the Lord is that every piece of armor, to me, points back to something very specifically. The belt of truth. There's only one person that is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. When we put on the belt of truth, we're putting on Jesus, right? The helmet of salvation. For salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we are saved. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we put on Jesus. The breastplate of righteousness, for there is none that is righteous. We are only made righteous through one person, through Jesus. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we put on Jesus. When we take up the shield of faith, right? Faith in who? Faith in Jesus, right? It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. So when we take up the shield of faith, we take up Jesus. With our feet fitted ready with the gospel of peace. I only know one Prince of Peace, right? I only know one Prince of Peace. So when I'm lacing up my shoes with peace, I'm lacing up my shoes with Jesus. When I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. The Word is Jesus. You see, when we wake up each morning and we put on the name of Jesus, when we take that name upon ourselves, we walk in power, right? We walk in power. And here's what I know about the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is Lord, right? Amen. And so one of the ways that we can stand strong in dark times is to know the truth that sets you free, the truth about Jesus. When we put on Jesus and we do not, this world wants to just wash everything out, twist everything. That's the way that the enemy lies. That's the way that the enemy gets, all roads lead to heaven, right? Kind of this progressive Christianity that, well, nobody's going to go to hell. Nobody's this. No, this religion is really just the same over here. I'm telling you what, there is no other Jesus. There is no other Jesus. There is no other way. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father except through Him, right? He is, like I said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. It is, it was, and it always will be only and all about Jesus Christ. That's it, right? When we stand strong in culture, when culture is trying to push all these other options and expand your thoughts and all this stuff, I've had friends tell me, Mike, you're just a narrow-minded Christian. And I'm like, yeah, well, the road says it's narrow. So, yes, I am a narrow-minded Christian because there's only one path that I want you to be on, and it's a narrow path, right? And, I think back to, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? All of culture, and I would say in a similar way to the way that culture is right now, but it was kind of like, hey, if you'll just bow down when the music plays, if you'll just bow down to this and do this, then you won't ruffle any feathers, you won't make any, you won't make anybody mad. Just go with the flow. Go with what culture is doing. That's where we're at right now. The world is saying, we want you to bow down to this mindset. We want you to say that this is truth. We want you to say that people's identity, the way that they were God created them, is not the way that they were. They have to be or stay. The world just keeps throwing all this confusion out there, and God says, "No, I want you to stand strong on Scripture. Stand strong on what My Word says." And I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think of Queen Esther. I think of Elijah. I think of all these people who were just one person, or maybe a small group, who said, I'm going to stand firm, I'm going to stand strong on the truth, and I'm going to turn culture back the direction it should go. Yeah. Right? So we need people that are willing to say, I'm going to stand strong for the truth of what Scripture says. There's a lot of I think and I feel kind of terminology out there when I talk with different people. And I say, man, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what the Word of God says. right? Now, turn with me real quick to Revelation 12. Revelation 12, I'm just going to kind of read through this here real quick. Verse 7 says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled down to the earth, his angels with him." The part I want to pull out of that is where it says that he leads the whole world astray. Right? There's a proverb that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You see, the enemy, his whole game is to try to get you to believe something that's not true, but if he can get you to believe it and get you to hold on to it, he can lead you astray. And one thing that I have told, I've got my good friend Christopher here with me, by the way. But Christopher is one of the guys that is part of my accountability and my group of men. And I tell them all the time, if I'm saying anything that doesn't match up with Scripture, you absolutely call me on it. Right? Because I don't want to be outside of God's will. And I don't want to assume that because I go around preaching that I'm somehow above anybody else or not capable of believing a lie. And we talked a lot about that on the way down here, just the little things that the enemy tries to get into your head. But that's why Jesus said, take every thought captive and turn it over to the authority of Scripture. Right? We got to keep turning things back to Scripture. So what Revelation 12:11 says, if we can go to Revelation 12:11, it says that they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and by not loving their lives so much as to shrink from death. Right here is a plan of action. Okay? We want to overcome the dragon, am I right? We want to overcome the enemy and everything that he's doing. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? And now, I don't know if I'm going to go into each one of these scriptures, but I just want everybody to know, do you guys know what the Romans Road is? Okay? If you don't know what the Romans Road is, we're going to just throw up a few scriptures here. It's basically five or six scriptures out of the book of Romans, which I keep in the front of my Bible, and any time that I sit down with coffee with somebody, any time that I'm in a conversation with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, I open it up to these scriptures right here. And it starts with Romans 3:2-3. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Next one says, Romans 6:2-3, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The next one, Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. That's good news. Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Not you might be saved, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Guys, that is the message. Those are the six scriptures that I keep on me at all times to say, here's how I deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single believer, every single person in this room needs to be able to sit down across from somebody and share the gospel. You also need to be able to do number two, which is by the word of their testimony. Every single person in here, you have a testimony of how you came to know Jesus Christ, right? We all have testimonies. I shared a couple of testimonies. That's right, that's right. We all have that testimony. And I always tell the guys that I work with, you need to be able to have that 2-minute elevator testimony ready to go at all times. That if somebody asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? Here's why. And in Acts 26, everybody say Acts 26.
Acts 26.
If you turn there, I'm not going to read through that right now. I'm getting a little short on time. But in Acts 26, Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And if you read through that, it's a great example of a testimony. He says, here's who I was, here's how I met Jesus, and here's who I am now. That's a testimony, right? Every single one of us has that story. Here's who I was, here's how I met Jesus, and here's who I am now. Okay? And then the final part of that scripture, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And I didn't really understand that scripture because I thought, well, is that talking about being a martyr? Or is that maybe just talking about being afraid to share the gospel sometimes? And I think that sometimes not being afraid of death is dying to self, right? Giving up some things and being willing to be embarrassed a little bit for the gospel, being willing to put yourself in a dangerous place. And that scripture really came to life for me a couple of years ago when we were in Pakistan. And we had gone to Pakistan with the team. We landed in the Lahore airport there, and the team that picked us up there said, hey, we need to tell you guys, the government has just issued a decree that there's to be no gatherings of over 50 people. And we were there to do big evangelist things, big outreach events. And they said, do you want to keep go ahead with the events, or do you want to cancel everything? And I got to tell you, my flesh said, I don't want to really be in a Pakistani jail. I would be okay with just being under the radar for a few days and going home. Because this is right in the midst of COVID. It's right in the midst of all that. And but we said, we talked about it as a team, and we said, we're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. Amen. So we went out, and we had a few smaller events, and our big Friday night event was still coming. And so as we were preparing for that event, I had this group of guys show up, and here's the guys that were getting ready to go with me to this event. And they're telling me, well, the place that we're going to go preach the gospel is an hour and a half south of where they got Osama bin Laden, okay? And we're kind of on the radar because we've been preaching the gospel in Pakistan for the last few days, and so we've got these security guys that are going to be going with us, and I'm smiling in that picture, but I'm also going, this could really be it. This could be it, right? So we loaded up in the van, the vehicles, and as I'm driving, we're about an hour into our drive. It's about a two-hour drive. And I find myself talking to this guy right here. And I just said, hey, this is the first time I'm seeing you this week. Are you associated with the church? You know, why are you here? And his English was really good. And he said, no, I'm not associated with the church. He said, I'm a member of Pakistan's parliament. And I am here to make sure the government doesn't shut this down because Pakistan needs Jesus, right? Every town that we went to for that two-hour stretch, we picked up another police vehicle or an army vehicle. By the time that we arrived at the event, we had probably 100 armed guys. And then when we walked up on stage, this is what we saw. Now, I share this with you not to brag on our ministry or anything like that, but I share with you this story because regardless of what you see happening in the news, regardless of what you see going on in this world, regardless of how discouraging or how scary it can all seem, God is at work, and he is not limited at all by what the devil is doing, right? And he's not limited. But I want to say this to you guys. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. That is our mission. That is what we are called to do. Not just the pastors or the worship leaders on stage, but every single one of us is called to be equipped with the gospel and to be ready to share your testimony and to be fearless. To be fearless. Because when you're fearless and willing to step over the barriers that the enemy's going to try to put in it, God will do amazing and mighty things. And I am excited for what God is doing here in Restoration Church, but I think it's only the beginning. And God has awesome, awesome things planned for each one of you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be equipped with your word, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be fearless and relentless in our ability and desire to share it. And God, I pray right now that you would just do a mighty work, Lord, that your holy warring angels would encamp around this body. And Lord, we pray for your blessings to be upon Restoration Church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Mm-hmm.